and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. With me today is Jason Valkeen. Jason is the ultimate real estate investor. Ooh, ultimate. With years of experience in buying and renovating properties, he has now made the leap to become a full-time investor working on large multifamily deals. With a passion for learning and growing as an investor, Jason found success by connecting with industry experts, studying online resources, and leveraging the right connections. Welcome to the show, Jason. How are you doing?
Thanks, Gino. It's an honor to be here.
Where do we start? Why multifamily? Give me the reason. Why did you jump into multifamily?
You know, I worked a W-2 job. I was a technical sales guy for probably 20 years, you know, and just kind of, I don't know, I caught the bug, the flipping bug early and just kind of dabbled in it, you know, just, and was always grinding it out, you know, weekends, nights, doing my own work, you know, and then at some point I don't know if I got fired from a job or what it was. I got a bug. I was like, you know, there's got to be something better. There's got to be something different. And I had heard good things about real estate, and that space wasn't really, you know, targeted on multifamily yet. So I started just getting a little more serious, burning some properties, you know, stuff like that. Fast forward, get fired from another job. And I'm just like, you know, I got to go faster. Like, you know, single family homes, it was a good way to cut my teeth. But so I started listening to podcasts. I started listening to you guys, guys like Bruce Peterson, Nathan Tabor, you know, the Bigger Pockets type of guys. Mm-hmm. And just realized they all said the same thing. They said, go as big as you possibly can, as fast as you safely can go. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took that advice and I said, okay, well, multifamily is really the fastest way, they said, to scale. They all wound up there. So I said, you know, I guess that's what I should start leaning towards. So mm-hmm. yeah, I kind of started gobbling it up. Everybody, all the industry experts like you guys, even Grant Cardone, you know, a lot of people kind of knock the guy, but I joined one of his mentorship programs, you know, just trying to get some coaching, right? And try to learn, like, and connect to people and learn what they did, not try to reinvent the wheel, but just kind of just do what others that have done before me. Right. Mm-hmm. And then
what was that conversation with your wife though, when you said to her, you know, I want to do this thing full time. I want to leave the W-2. What was her reaction?
You know, my wife, she's kind of built a little differently than me. We're kind of opposite. I think God puts people together that are opposites, right? She's a saver. I'm a spender. She's low risk. I'm high risk, you know, all those kind of things. So for her, it was scary. You know, it was kind of like almost dragging her, kicking and screaming a little bit, but you know, she just didn't say a lot at first, but she trusts me. And, you know, I think that she saw some success that we were having, you know, and just some of the single family properties, and, you know, and you try to share as much as you can without scaring the crap out of them. Right.
Yeah. What would you say to the listeners out there who have a significant other or a spouse and they're in the same situation as you are, or myself years ago? We have a soul sucking job. We don't like what we're doing. We don't feel like we're connected. We want to try something different. What would you say to them to try to talk to their spouse?
That's a great question. I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is I tried to help her share in the vision, right? The vision I had of having financial choices later in life, or financial freedom, not being subject to a boss or a job or trading time for money, but, you know, really a different kind of lifestyle. And it's not just about money either. It's about quality of life and being able to give back and being able to, you know, just pour into others and make that big impact that you know, the purpose, the call that's put on your heart. Right. And so when you paint that vision with someone and, you know, I mean, if you're married, the goal is to grow together, not apart. Right. So you can go do whatever you want, but if they're not on board, then chances are eventually that's going to, you know, maybe cause some problems down the road, and you're going to be both staring at each other going, who are you?
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I add a couple of thoughts to that? Because I think you've laid it out really well.
Yeah, please do.
For myself, you know, the sales trainers will tell you sell with emotion, close with logic. And I think you said it accurately. You need to paint a picture or a vision, because when I told my wife about financial freedom, she's already like, I already have that. I'm not talking about the financial freedom where you don't have to worry about bills. I'm still worrying about bills. I want to have the financial freedom where if we want to go on vacation, I don't have to stress about making the money for it. If we want to be able to be a little bit more charitable and donate more money or do a fundraiser that's going to cost us a fortune, I have the option to do that. And I think it's really, really important. And I love that you said about what is this all worth if you're going to grow a business and your significant other's not along for the journey, and then you grow apart. Really flesh out what your values are. And, you know, you share a lot in common with your wife. You think you may be polar opposites, but you both have faith. You both want family. You both, I'm sure you want some type of control or some type of security, where she may view security a little different than you. She may think a W-2 job is secure, whereas you're saying, time out, I just got quit by my last two jobs. Real estate's more secure because I can control it. So I think really working on values that align and sharing that vision, I think is truly, truly important, Jason.
Absolutely. And you know, like it's not going to be an overnight thing with folks that are listening, right? You know, it's over time. And, you know, what was great about our 54 unit is that there were so many different revenue streams. I mean, we're the general partner, but I'm also the project manager, the asset manager, you know, and sometimes I strap on a tool belt. So it's like, so now we have like, and you know, sometimes she'll go clean apartments, you know, like, so the first time I think I handed her a pretty sizable check for project management fees, she kind of looked at me like, okay, you know, I can kind of see this is something we could probably do, right?
Jason, how did you transition though from single families and doing BRRRs to buying your first apartment? What did that look like?
The world's going to tell you that's too fast, right? The world's going to judge you and say, tell you what you should do. You should start with the duplex and then go to the quadplex and then go to this and that. I just went from a couple of BRRRs that I did and I jumped right into a 54. I don't know. No one told me I couldn't. So, so I just did it, you know, and I saw what everybody said. They said the same thing. I would go bigger, faster, sooner, right? And so I'd be like, well, I don't want to have that regret. I don't want to, you know, look and waste 10 years and then look back and say, why didn't I just buy the 54, you know, right off the get? So that's what I did.
And what did you learn? Well, okay, before I even answer that, ask that question, I'm thinking about you and your growth. You didn't just go from that to that. You joined other mentorships. You joined other education. You invested in your education. Sure. What would you say to people out there listening? I want to go bigger, faster. I haven't done it yet. What would you say about, hey, time out. Maybe it's, you know, time to invest in your education, because that I wanted to go bigger, faster, absolutely, like you did. And I had to invest in my education years ago. And I continue to invest in my education. I was getting to a certain inflection points, whether it's scaling up, whether it's, you know, training on speaking, whatever it may be, you hit a wall and then you need it. So could you speak on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, no, I love where you're going with that. And you know, we have, even if we join a community like Jake and Gino, which is an amazing community, you get coaches, you get all these people that are doing amazing things. You have to self-teach yourself. You have to take the action. You have to do the time and do the work and jump on the Jake and Gino, you know, the Wheelbarrow Profits, do the educational, watch all the videos. You got to do all that work, right? And you got to self-teach yourself. And you get the confidence, and then you get the knowledge, and then you just kind of mimic what others are doing. You build your team, and you're never going to not be scared. Like I was, it was frightening, very frightening to go. And a lot of time, I'm a man of faith. So there was times literally where I just prayed and I said, you know what? I can't do anything else with this. You got to do something. I said, Jesus, you got to do something, and then he would make something happen. But you know, you got to take those steps. You got to take action. God can't help you unless you're actually taking action and in motion, then he can help you. Right.
And part of that is being clear though. I mean, part of that is saying, I wanted to get into multifamily. I wanted to get out of what I was doing. And what you're basically saying in a lot of words, I can sum it up as education times action equals results. You could take massive action like I did early on and not get the results. And then I started taking massive education. But if you're not taking action, you're not saying, God, help me. God helps those who help themselves. That's the way I look at it. We can't sit on the couch and say, here, hit me up with a miracle. No, you got to get off the couch, do the work. And have the work, have the faith to put in the work. And I think that goes back to working with the spouse. I should have probably said this also. And you're doing it and I'm doing it. If you're going to try to convince your significant other of working with you in the business or having trust in you, you need to put in the work and the effort and show them that you're going to actually suffer and put in the time so they have that faith in you. That's one thing that I had. My wife knew that I was a hard worker. And if I'm going to commit to real estate and I'm going to commit our future and our money and all of that, if I don't show her that I'm putting in the work and the effort, then it's all for naught. Then how is she going to trust me?
Yeah, they do see it and they pay attention. And I mean, anybody does, right? You watch what your family does. You watch what the guys in the Jake and Gino community, you watch others, what they're actually doing. And they're out there talking, but are they actually taking the action behind the scenes? And what are they doing behind the scenes, right? So that's always, how you do that is extremely important. But, as far as the community, in surrounding yourself and getting educated, I joined the Jake and Gino community probably, that's a little over a year ago now. But I made a mistake when I first joined. I didn't, dive in. I got lost in we're doing a $2 million renovation on my property. So I got lost in the weeds, right? And I didn't dedicate the time to have those coaching sessions. But now I've jumped back in and I'm meeting with my accountability coach regularly. I'm meeting with my deal coach regularly. I'm getting out there talking to brokers, looking at deals. So it's a world of difference because I'm taking advantage of what the program actually has to offer. And that's really surrounding yourself with those kind of people is so crucial.
You have to prioritize, and the priority is, hey, I've got a $2 million renovation going on. I need to take care of that. And sure. I just need, so let's talk about the deal. I mean, how did you find the deal? And I mean, you already said you're scared, but I give you a lot of props because I went from a fourplex to 25 unit with Jake, our very first deal. You went from a couple of burrs to a 54 unit. Walk us through how you found the deal and what were you attracted to deal? What were you attracted with this deal?
So I flipped the house across the street, which I did not want to flip. My realtor convinced me, right? And basically, the usual flip thing, you buy the worst house in the best neighborhood, right? So there's mansions right across this flip. And I saw this traffic going in this, and this was, I looked at a couple of buildings, a couple of apartments, but I just got distracted with this flip. That's why I didn't want to do the flip. Stay in your lane, right? Don't get distracted. But I did. And so all this traffic's going in behind these mansions. And I'm like, what the heck? Drove back there. All of a sudden, there's this 54 unit complex, peel and paint, roofs, porches are falling off, like roofs leaking. Like, this is textbook, right? Mom and pop, someone that doesn't want to own this building. So I was like, it was just one of those God moments. I'm just like, I'm going to buy this place. I have no idea how. I don't even know who owns this or if they want to sell it, but I'm going to buy this place, right? So here's the best part. My wife has a birthday. She wants to go out to eat in Jackson. I have no idea why. She normally wants to go to Ann Arbor where the nice restaurants are, but she wants to go to Jackson. This is before COVID, so couldn't get in, hour wait. Okay, let's go over here to Knight's Steakhouse. 15-minute wait. Let's have a drink at the bar. Big guy moves over. No, you guys can sit here. No problem. Makes room for us. Thanks. I start struggling with conversation. Thanks for moving. He's the broker that actually knows the owners of that complex sitting right next to me at this bar. Like, I didn't even have a chance to go find out who owns this complex. This guy already knows them. He's like, oh, man. He's like, I've been trying to buy that complex for 10 years for different clients. They'll never sell it. Never even gave us a price. Okay. Broke my heart that night, but took him out for breakfast a couple weeks later, said, convinced him to try my way one more time, right? I'm going to get a purchase agreement. I'm going to have a lawyer draft it up. Lob it over the fence, right? They countered. For the first time ever, fell out of his chair. They actually gave him, it was like twice what we offered, but they countered, right? Uh-huh. So the rest is history. We just went down the road and, it took us forever to buy that from that mom and pop, but we eventually bought it. It took us about 8-9 months to buy it.
So let's walk that through for everybody, because the amazing part is you put something out there and it tends to come back to you. I mean, what's the chances of you going to a restaurant that's full and then leaving, going somewhere else where you wouldn't want to go, sitting at a bar next to a real estate broker? And that's the key, everybody. Let people know what you're doing. Let them know that you're investing, because you never know who's sitting next to you. It could be a commercial mortgage broker. It could be a realtor. It could be an owner of a property. So that's the amazing part. And that's action. And then obviously that purchase and sale is great, because when you spend the time and the effort to get a contract in front of them, they know you're serious. No one ever did that. People probably throw lowball offers and they're like, you know what? But when you're serious about something, putting it in there, and then obviously the tenacity and not being able to quit, because a lot of these mom and pops, they don't know that their asset is worth what they think. They think it's worth X. Right. You know it's worth Y. So being able to work there for the next 8 to 9 months, most of us would have quit and you kept going. So that is awesome. What attracted you to this property? Was it the location? Was it the ability to add value to the property?
Well, I chose a 90-mile radius of my house, and then I chose Jackson because Jackson or Lansing was in my wheelhouse, but Jackson was where I was flipping houses. Mm-hmm. I just knew the area pretty decent. And, that's just the kind of, you know, what I like about that market. And this is, you know, maybe for other listeners that are listening in, is that some of those submarkets that are overlooked, you know, by the big money, the institutional buyers, like institutional money, they're not, you know, all these REITs, they aren't coming to Jackson to look for apartments. Like, so you're the people that are sitting at the table with you are a lot less, you know, you're not going to have to fight so many people. In this case, it was an off-market deal, but still, like, I like the market. You know, it's lower income than, you know, so it falls underneath a lot of people's radar. It's low growth. You know, there's like negative 0.1% growth. So that takes it off a lot of people's lists. And I'm probably like, hopefully I'm not giving away my little honey hole here. But, you know, it's just, I like the people. It's down to earth, blue collar, you know, workforce housing, all those things that I like when it comes to multifamily investing.
So we only have a few minutes left in the show, and yeah. I want to go over the mistakes. You probably had like a full show and a half worth of mistakes, sure. But like, let's walk us through, like, I guess the first thing would be looking at the deal and what mistakes do you think you could say I could avoid that in hindsight, or maybe if I joined the Jake and Gino education sooner, or another mentorship sooner, or what are some of the things that you want the listeners to be aware of? Even like you're doing your first syndication on a large asset as well. What are some of the highlights that we should really be aware of when we're doing our first deal, especially a big deal?
Surround yourself with a good team, right? Like that's what you guys coach on all the time. And that's what I did then. And that's what I continue to do now, especially mm-hmm. with the Jake and Gino community. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Bill Hamm, who's my deal coach, is like instrumental in looking at deals. And I'm a better underwriter now than I ever have been. And my goal is to get even better, to be an expert underwriter. And that doesn't come without joining a community like this and without, you know, going after and surrounding yourself with people that have done it, that are much smarter than you are. But the biggest mistakes that I made were just not. The advice I give to listeners is know your buildings, like go in the crawl spaces, go in the attics, you know, go in the electrical rooms, really spend time inspecting that building. Even if you hire an inspector, go with him, right? And crawl around with him and get to know that building inside and out. Cause there was a lot of trade that I did because I kept finding things like that were really bad. And I probably overpaid for this asset, hands down. 100%. But like, you have to know buildings and you have to know what things are worth and what the values are of replacing an entire cast iron system that's in a crawl space or replacing 400 square roof. Like, you know, you aren't going to know all those things right away, but just make phone calls to people and develop relationships with contractors or roofers or plumbers or whatever. So you kind of know and you learn as you go what the building will need and what things will cost.
So you're talking due diligence, anything else highlighting as far as maybe raising capital, maybe overfixing your budget? Was the budget's correct on this deal? Anything else that stuck out to you?
No, we blew our budget out of the water. Absolutely. You know, you can't spend too much time figuring out that budget and you can't always do everything. You won't have it all right. You're going to make mistakes, but if you give yourself a little bit of room and a little bit of breathing, you know, you'll probably be all right. And you know, it just depends on if you're like Bill Hamm talks about, if you're on the down cycle or if you're on the up cycle. You know, like you got to know that cycle to know whether or not you can spend a little extra money here, or, you know, go get that extra line of credit to finish the renovations that you ran out of money for, whatever it is.
What would you have done differently on the deal? Would have been, obviously we always say we paid too much, but anything else that sticks out that you'd have done differently with this deal?
You know, like I probably would have, just with property management, I can't say that I would have got a different property manager, but I switched last minute, and that I wouldn't recommend switching that late in the game. That was a mistake. Also, you know, if you can manage a little bit yourself, like I hired a third party, and that's taken a lot of efforts to manage those folks. It's been mediocre at best. No one's going to take care of your buildings like you would, right? So that's been a hard thing. Eventually, I want to go vertical with that. That's a goal down the road. But with a 54, you can't really do that yet. But really, you know, vet the property manager. And if you can, spend time with those folks. Interview, go look at buildings that they're managing right now, if you can. And make sure that you're going to be happy with your horse attached to that cart. Because it will be for a little while. So you can make some changes down the road. So that made that was the source of a lot of misery and probably some money for us, having the wrong property manager.
Are you happy that you closed the deal? Looking back at it now, are you happy that you have this deal?
Hands down. Like, no mistake. Like, this has been one of the most life-changing things for me and my family. And it's not over yet. It's just the start. You know, and the folks from Jake and Gino, you guys are an inspiration. And I see everybody, all the success, guys that have, you know, 1500 units and all this stuff. And then guys that are just starting out. There's people that are all over the map when it comes to this community. But the best part is that, you know, that everybody is there to help you. And everybody wants to make the biggest impact in their lives and other people's lives. And I've never had anybody not want to help me do something, you know, that I'm doing and take interest, which has been just completely amazing.
I have a lot of admiration for you because I was always talking about mindset and fixed mindset and growth mindset. And someone said to me, a better word would be mind belief. And mind belief, what I mean by that is you believed you could buy that 54 unit deal. I would have thought you're crazy if you're doing burying and doing threes. And I would say, well, why don't we start smaller? But this is for the listeners out there. If you believe you can do a 54 unit deal as a syndication, as your first deal, don't let anyone tell you you can't. I'm not saying go blindly. I say, you know, think big, start small. And for me, the only reason why I'm accustomed to that is because that's what I started out with. And I'm more of a kinesthetic learner. I learn by actually doing it. Like it sounds like Jason does too. That's why he started out with the burr. And that was for me. And I needed to convince myself that I needed to go smaller to be able to go bigger. But you're listening out there. You don't have to follow my path or Jason's path. You can follow your path. If you believe you can do something, then you'll be able to do it. Now, there's a lot of pitfalls that Jason talked about, which is really important. And I think we all, every single investor, makes this mistake, and it's due diligence. I messed up that second deal. I mean, talk about dude. I did the worst due diligence ever, as far as liens on the property, as far as smoke detectors, as far as carbon monoxide, as far as buried water tanks, buried oil tanks as well. I mean, it was a nightmare. That's something you're going to learn, but don't let it stop you. And it's okay if you overpay, because 2 or 3 years later, as the cycle progresses, you're going to be thankful that you bought that asset, and it's going to work out okay in the long run. So that, I think, is really, really important. Anything else, Jason, you want to add before we wrap up the show?
Do it afraid. Keep the faith. Get used to being uncomfortable, because that's the way it's going to be.
I love that. Jason,
comfort does not breed growth.
It does not.
So it's, you know, it's just been, that's been the hardest lesson for me to learn, is when you're in the thick of it, you're in the battle, you're getting dirty and you're getting beat up. You feel like life beats you up sometimes, especially with stuff like this. And, you know, you just have to get used to that. It makes you stronger. You come on the other side knowing more, and being able to take on more and being able to give to others and not be rattled. Every time the contractor comes up, you don't lose your crap on them. You actually, no, it's cool. This is what we're going to do. Don't worry. You know, I got this. We're going to take care of you. You don't have to pay for it. You know, we're going to figure out a way to do it together and just, let's just get it done. Let's come up with a solution. Right.
Yes.
So you can add value back in other people's lives.
There's a couple of things that I like to add on this. I think what's really important when Jason talks about having the why, he understood his why. And everyone out there listening, when you're investing in real estate or you're investing in anything, understand what your why is. And then obviously having faith is an important component of his life. So having that faith, but also needing to take action and then needing to be uncomfortable. God makes you uncomfortable for a lot of reasons, because I don't think he wants us sitting around being complacent and being slothful. So, you know, being uncomfortable is an okay thing. You just, as you get older, you get more used to it. And the more uncomfortable you get, the more you grow. Now, this 54 unit has been really uncomfortable. Property management, due diligence, blown up cap budget, whatever, the list goes on and on. But as he's gotten uncomfortable, these are all learning lessons and they're all mental notes that he's taken care of. And as his wife looks at the check and goes, well, that's a nice size check we got there. There are some rewards to all the pain that we assume. And that, I think, is it. That's just a testament to like the growth and to get out of that uncomfortableness. Jason, where can the listeners get a hold of you?
You know, they can email me, they can search me on Facebook. Val Sheen is actually a very unique name. So there's only one Jason Val Sheen, and they can find me on Facebook. Email jvalsheen@gmail.com. You know, they can always shoot a text to 734-548-4091. Happy to chat with anybody about real estate.
And his last name is spelled, it's V-A-L-C-H-I-N-E.
And you know, it's Italian. It was probably Valchine. In the old country, I'm imagining.
It is. I didn't want it. It's Valchine. It's actually an awesome last Italian name. I just want to let you know that. So listen, I want to thank you for coming on the show, sharing your misery, sharing, you know, how to get into a big deal, because you don't have to start out small. You start out where you feel comfortable. Remember, it's not mindset, it's mind belief. And, you know, for all those out there that are looking to take it to the next level, go look at other communities out there. Go look to get educated, invest in your education. You're worth it, because what you do today, you look back 5 years from now and go, I wish I did that deal. I wish I joined that mentorship. I wish I invested in myself. Don't hesitate. And you can see that one deal, it can be a life-changing deal for the rest of your life. So Jason, I want to thank you very much for coming on and for sharing your story. And until next time, let's go out there and let's make it a movers and shakers day. Thanks, everyone.
It was an honor. Thanks, Gino.